Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, everybody. Happy Friday. I called it yesterday the last day of the offseason. It is for me. I'll get away from it here, you know, at least in terms of work, for a couple days, for 3 days after today, Labor Day weekend. And I'll be hoping to hear from several fans today as we look ahead to next week. I need to start with the Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau tragedy. It feels inappropriate to not. I don't know that there's anything to debate here, except for to say just what a horrible story this is. And I just can't imagine this family's pain and their anger. It's just such a stupid thing. I don't want to preach. I don't want to preach on drunk driving. I mean, we kind of all know. You do see people, whether they're drinking or not, do these crazy things on the road, and I've just never understood it. I just have to say, I've just never understood. Where are you going that is so important that cannot wait, whatever, one extra minute? Does anybody do the math? I mean, you see, what I read this was, they were on bikes. I've been on these New Jersey, these two-lane roads in New Jersey one time, and I was pretty, like, really nervous this one time with my family because there was torrential rain and you really just couldn't see, and they're really, really tight roads, if that's what was the case here. But they're on their bikes, and this guy who allegedly was under the influence and struck them tried to pass two cars at once, and as he was doing so, the second car, the one in front, drifted to the left to make room for the bicyclists to, you know, give them space. And the driver then tried to pass that car on the right. So weaving at probably a high rate of speed, weaving between the two cars he was passing. And then there was the impact. And I just don't get it. I mean, what is so important? The selfishness of such a move. You know, we've probably all seen it. Some of you have probably done it. It just shows such a lack of respect for other people, you know, like, I don't understand. So it's a terrible story. How it's juxtaposed with it being on the weekend of their sister's wedding, it's just like hard to fathom what that must be like for that family. Impossibly sad. Again, there's not really much to discuss. I mean, we all know all this, but I just wanted to start with it because it feels wrong not to. Let's get to football. Week one is almost here. Like I said already, yesterday I called today the last day of the offseason, which means, you know, last call for takes, predictions, anything that you have been, you know, trying to figure out that you've landed on here for the last, wow, what, like 7 months? more. 803-0550. I'll be looking for your calls soon. Bulldog is off again today. He and I are together Tuesday after we get through Labor Day weekend, and let's go. I mean, we'll, like I said yesterday, we'll be talking about point spreads and weather conditions and injury reports and the Arizona Cardinals and all this stuff. Very different once we get to next week from the offseason talk. What has been the number one topic of the offseason? Wide receiver. And isn't it a coincidence or not? I don't know. It's just something that on our last day here, in an offseason where not everybody, you know, you try to be positive about it, but mostly a lot of us have been bemoaning the state of the Bills receiver room and just what will life be like post Stephon Diggs and Gabe Davis. It's a new time for them. Isn't it something that on this last day of that conversation, you have the Brandon Ayuk story? Brandon Ayuk won. He held out. The 49ers are really good. And he won. He got his money. I don't know what they'll do in the future to, you know, make everything work with that roster, but they kind of always had to do it. I mean, who were they going to trade him for? Maybe they could have traded him for somebody good, but not as expensive and just done that. But they didn't end up doing that. They paid Ayuk. And so in terms of the Bills, we don't have a Ayuk trade to Pittsburgh or to Cleveland to compare, you know, things to. And okay, so Pittsburgh trades whatever it would have been, 2 second-round picks or something, I don't know. And we all talk about then whether the Bills should have done that. The Bills have, I mean, we know this, but it can't be ignored in any conversation about that idea, is the cap, they have cap problems. You know, this was the year where they tried to clean things out. They have the second most dead cap money in the NFL to Denver. Like 25 point something percent, I think it is. Approximately a quarter of their cap space is dead money, like not going to active players on the team. And just, you know, they would have probably, if it were even possible, it seems like everything's always possible, but they would have had to get very creative at best to get anything, you know, going with Brandon Ayuk. But ultimately, again, he is not traded. And so the Bills go into this season. It's unclear who their number one guy will be. If you were to ask me, who is the most important player on the team that isn't Josh Allen? And I would love to hear your answer to that question. Who is the most important player on the team that isn't Josh Allen? I think it's Dalton Kincaid. And that, you know, that's good and bad. I think that's good and bad. You know, what's good about it? He's talented. He's young. They don't have the young, well, they have Coleman. They have Coleman. This is something I was just sort of like knee-jerk reaction saying for a long time, like that young receiver. They do have a promising young receiver in Keon Coleman. Anyway, Kincaid, I don't expect Coleman to have like a huge impact, at least for a while this year. I think we'd all say if you got Rashee Rice's rookie season for Kansas City out of Coleman, like we'd sign. We would all take that, especially if it results in a Super Bowl like that one did. But I think what the Bills will need to do is have some way of maximizing Allen's ability, you know, chunk plays, as they say, down the field. And Kincaid is probably, I'm guessing, the best guy they have for that. They do tell you, and this is what you want to hope happens, that he presents a certain matchup challenge for teams. You know, if there are two tight ends on the field, just how they can make him work. And it can't be just dump-offs. Like, it has to be real plays, real football plays that are meaningful. And while I think, you know, whether it's Khalil Shakir or someone else, Kincaid is the guy where really this has to happen. If that doesn't happen, I think they're in tough. Because, I mean, I say all the time, I think they want to play short. Sal's talking about this now, like horizontal stuff and trends in the league, too high safeties, all this. That by the players the Bills have signed, and even including on the practice squad, that's my conversations with Sal a couple times this week, They seem to indicate the Bills maybe feeling like they have to adjust and have players who can be more, I guess, versatile would be a good word for it, but not as threatening down the field. Kincaid, though, he is the exception. You drafted him to do that, not, you know, be Isaiah McKenzie or even be Dawson Knox. He's a tight end in name only. He, to me, and who is yours? He, to me, is the most important player on the Bills that isn't Allen. Why is it good and bad? It's bad to me. It's not ideal, I'll put it that way, to me, because Knox exists, and they have this collection of slot receivers that are, I guess, not always going to be playing in the slot, and Kincaid is kind of like, he kind of needs to be in that role. He'll be out wide some, too. But he'll also be off the field a lot, I think. So, I don't know what you get. You know, if he plays 60% of snaps and has a good, you know, target depth, right? I mean, you can have a really good season there. But it's kind of like, it's a thin bet, you know? I mean, to get a big year out of a guy who is splitting time or whatever you want to call it is not something you want to bank. It's not Stephon Diggs, you know? Stephon Diggs, go out there, get open. He does. Here's the ball. 14 yards. You know, that wasn't always the case. It didn't end like that, but that was good living. And this year is going to be different. So it is just, you know, I don't want to, I'm going to get to 7 o'clock and this will be the last day for all this sort of off-season type discussion. And receiver has so dominated that, at least in my mind, it needed to. It's not the only question about the Bills. I mean, defense is a big question, just broadly, with Hayden Poyer and Trey White and Matt Milano. And what is Von Miller, Sal talking about, you know?
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did he want to not use the word situational for Von Miller, but, you know, a low number of snaps, maybe you're just going to pick your spots with him? Not at all. Does that sound like a guy that you, like, if Sal's going to describe him like that, and not to single him out, but he's, you know, who I just talked to about this stuff, the way he was talking would mean to me that I can't pick Von Miller to be the most important Bills player that isn't Allen, because it doesn't sound like he's going to have like a huge role. He's going to be part-time, and so I wouldn't pick him. I don't know defensively who it is, whether that's Bernard or Rousseau, Oliver, you know, somebody that's been around, Douglas. I think, optimistically, McDermott has earned the benefit of the doubt that he can coach up defense and scheme it in a way that they I don't want to say should, like it's a given. I mean, they've lost a lot of good players, but you can be optimistic that they'll be good. But I kind of think by the personnel that it's going to have to come through turnovers. And so you're going to want a pass rush for that, and we'll see what the Bills are in that department. Douglas has always been a player, like a ball hawk. Bernard last year was a version of that, you know, just like these big turnover plays. I don't know if he's like rock solid, but what you got out of him last year made a big difference. It was a huge help to the Bills, especially when they'd lost Milano. So there's a lot to be figured out by their on their defensive side of the ball here this year. I want to be optimistic because of McDermott, and there's some talent. It's also, defense is also like, this is up. This is sort of like McDermott's, it's not an opportunity for him. He's the head coach. But what do we always say, you know, like when talking about him and comparing the Bills to other teams, what is the value, what is the benefit of having your head coach be on the defensive side? It doesn't seem optimal. You know, we've kind of talked about this many times. When the Bills lose in the playoffs to Kansas City and Cincinnati and watch, you know, the Rams win a Super Bowl and San Francisco go and Philadelphia, you know, you've got Dallas even. Like, you've got, you don't see defensive coaches running the show. And so we get jealous and we sort of wonder, you know, if Joe Brady and the Bills offense is excellent this year, then there goes Joe Brady and we just keep doing that. It's a year for McDermott to make a point, you know, to tell everybody, to show everybody why there is this benefit, why it's worth having him as a coach. I don't mean like big picture, face of the franchise, team spokesman, culture, all those kinds of things. And, you know, that all that stuff can be debated in terms of like how important and what's real and all that. I just want, and he's not going to be the defensive coordinator here. He's got Bobby Babich for that, who's been here the whole time and, you know, is probably some extension of McDermott. This is a year for, without those veterans, without a roster where you just sort of expect, assume even that they're going to be fine. They've been good so many of these seasons. Well, this one's different. What will it be? And I don't know. Like, you can be optimistic about that, like I'm saying, but it's kind of the theme of this year is that it's a little bit less of a given, you know, that they're going to be fine. I think these recent years, it's pretty much felt going into the season like they were fine, and they were. And it was just about the postseason, and that hasn't worked out. But I don't think this year, you know, as we kind of sum things up today, I don't feel like they're fine. They could be, but there's too much that's different. And it's those are important areas for me to think that, like, just they're just going to roll out the ball and have another double-digit win season. I wouldn't want to bet against it, but it's just less of a certainty, in my mind anyway. 803-0550 for your calls. Would love to hear your takes here as we get to the end of the offseason. Mercifully, right? Let's go. Week one next week, Arizona Cardinals. I want to talk about openers too. Fun to look back on some of them. The last Bills week one home win with fans there is McDermott's first game. It predates Josh Allen. Last year at the Jets, the loss on Monday night. Year before at the Rams, the win in the opening game. Year before, 21 is Pittsburgh winning here. 20 is a Jet game, but nobody's there. So we all watched it on TV, watched an empty stadium. 19 is at the Jets, I believe. 18 is the disaster Nathan Peterman in Baltimore. 17, home win. That's a Jet game too, isn't it? That's their last like week one party at the stadium would be 7 years ago. I have a lot of fond memories of openers that were important and great that I went to and just love thinking about that here as we get to that time on the calendar. 803-0550 for your calls. We've got Steve first up. Hi, Steve.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in, and I think it's going to be Tyler Bass, just because I'm going to assume that these offensive players are going to do their job. And I think with how close these games are going to be, especially if they are going to run the ball and burn a little bit more clock, you know, he's going to have to make kicks. And if we lose field position and he starts self-destructing, we can't go out and replace him. And, you know, he's going to have to show up this season.
You know, it's interesting that we start here on the phones, because we talked about Bass yesterday and maybe the day before, and I've had the sense that, thank you, Steve, yourself and a lot of fans are really tight about him. And I'm just really not, but it's not because I'm expecting him, you know, to make every field goal or anything like that. We'll just have to see. Like, he's struggled enough. It's such a relative term. I mean, really, how many field goals did he miss last year? Four the whole season? And then three in the playoffs. You know, that's memorable. That's where we ended. It's not nothing. It's just, I guess I kind of want to bet on him, you know, to be fine. What is interesting about him, though, to think about, listen to sort of the theory there, right? And this this I am bracing for. I have said all summer that I think they're going to be more of a conservative team that's running the ball more. And, you know, Steve uses, he mentions field position. Did he also say running the clock? You know, I'm not ready to go back in time quite yet, really. But, and that's also a relative term. What are we talking about? Like they're going to throw 10 passes a week? No. But I do think those passing numbers will come down. And I think every sign points to that. Who's on the team? What changed? They probably should think. It's the whole conversation about receiver that they can't lean into that as hard as they have been able to do with Diggs. They probably should think that. This is what we've got. It's different now. We're going to have to adjust. It went both ways. Like, that wasn't all just circumstances, what changed to the roster. Some of it was by design. Of course, even trading Diggs was that. And that all, well, not so much Diggs because that was more, you know, personal stuff probably. But that all came to fruition last year after Joe Brady took over when Diggs was even on the field. His numbers came down. It's not because he just quit. They didn't use him quite as, you know, prominently. And they played this way that I'm foreseeing this year. And they won every week until the Chiefs, a game in which their offense was pretty much fine anyway. So why wouldn't, this is how I try to think about things always. Like, what happened? It went well. The roster even, the way the roster changed may even push them more in that direction. Why wouldn't it look like that? The answer to that could be, or maybe should be, Allen and just, well, are you getting the most out of him if you sort of rein in the offense? Maybe not. But one of the talking points is always taking more off his plate. And this would be doing that. And I just, if it has to be that way because Diggs is gone and they just don't have the number one receiver, all of that, if it has to be that way, I get it. I'm not excited about it. Like, to me, that is not how I'd want to do this. I still want to put the pedal down. And I know two high safeties, and I know you just can't have anything you want, but I'm sort of bracing for that. I'm predicting the Bills' downshift. Or if that's actually not what it would be, right? I'm downshifting. Anyway, I'm predicting the Bills to sort of play a little slower, more running the ball, and I'm not really a fan of that. So it's kind of like a bigger picture reason why I have concerns this year. I think some of the roster turnover was out of necessity. You know, Davis leaving was going to happen and salary cap challenges, you know, all of that. But some of it was intentional because of last year's success under Brady, you know, kind of playing that way. So why wouldn't they do it again? That's what I think. Thanks again, Steve. 803-0550. I'll look for your calls again right after a short break. Later, Sigmund Bloom, Fantasy Friday, football guys. Let's take your fantasy questions throughout the day, too, if you've got them. This is the biggest weekend of the year for that. And Paul Hamilton will join me later. Paul has been out with the Bills quite often. We've got the Sabres around the corner. Next time we talk, it'll be September. And also, of course, the tragedy with Johnny Gaudreau and his brother. We'll talk to Paul about that a little bit, too. Thanks for listening. Glad to have you along. Maybe you've started your Labor Day weekend already. Good for you. I think a lot of my coworkers have. Let me just put my hand right above my eyes. I look off into the distance just for any sign of life. This is Mike Shope. Bulldog is off. This is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.